much, Brother Jake and Quartet, for singing that today. What a message, amen? What a message about Jesus. And by the way, he is the answer. I know some people are saying, is there an answer to what's going on in our world today? Is there hope for us? Is there hope for our world? Is there hope for humanity? Is there hope for your life? Some of you have come today and maybe you feel hopeless. And I'm here today to tell you there is hope. But that hope can only be found in Jesus. If you're looking any other direction, you're going to come away empty. If you're going any other way, you're going to be going the wrong way. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one goes to heaven except through me. He is the way. Maybe you've come this Easter Sunday morning and saying, I'm looking for something. I know there's something missing in my life. There's a void that everyone has. Before you come to the Lord, there's a void, and we try to fill that void different ways. And in the Scripture, they did also. Some people in the Scripture tried to fill that void with relationships, like the woman at the well who had had five husbands and was living with a man when Jesus encountered her and told her that, listen, I have water that you can drink of that you'll never thirst again. And he wasn't talking about the water in the well. He was talking about himself. And she partook of Jesus, and she was forever changed, folks. How do we know that? She went back to town and she told everybody. She couldn't keep it to herself. And by the way, the message of Easter is you cannot keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody that he is risen. Now, some of you guys caught the largest catfish ever caught, say about a 100-pound catfish. I'm sure you'd keep it to yourself, right? All you anglers. Or like a 20-pound bass, I'm sure some of you guys would just take it and probably throw it back in and wouldn't show it to anybody. I doubt that. And ladies, if you would go and find something at the store and you get a good deal, you sure tell somebody, amen? You got to say, I captured it. I made it. But I want you to know the greatest thing about our life is Jesus. And we must understand that. See, the resurrection is the foundational stone in which all other doctrine stands or falls. See, without the resurrection, there would be no incarnation. He would not be truly God. He would just be another man that lived. Without the resurrection, there would be no deity of Christ. There would be no humiliation of Christ. There would be, nothing would matter about the crucifixion. He would have died, and that was all there is to it. But I tell you today, he rose. He had a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, and he came and asked for the body of Jesus. And we believe because of that, probably Joseph became a believer. But he let him borrow a tomb. By the way, he only needed to borrow a tomb because he didn't need it very long. 3 days, and he rose again. This week, I challenge you to do something this week. I've done it this week. I want to challenge everyone in this place to read every one of the gospel accounts of the resurrection. And then go and read 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter by the Apostle Paul. And then go to the book of Acts and read the first preaching in the early church. Every time Peter got up and preached, you know what he preached about? Jesus. He said, you are the ones that killed him, but God raised him up from the dead. And the first time he preached, 3,000 people were added to the church. The second time he preached, 5,000 people were added to the church. By the way, Jesus is pretty good preaching. Amen? I was told one time I was in seminary, whenever you preach a sermon, wherever you start, you better get to the cross as soon as you can. And I believe that with all my heart. But I want to talk about the resurrection day. I want to talk about how do we know the resurrection is true. What are, first of all, the proofs of the resurrection? If you have a copy of the scripture, I want to read Matthew's account. I could read any of the accounts, but I want to read Matthew's account. Matthew 28. Let's go there this morning. Now, you know Matthew wants to present Jesus as king. all throughout the book of Matthew. He wants us to see him as king, just like Mark wanted us to see the wonderful working Jesus, and just like Luke wanted us to see Jesus, a friend of sinners. And John steps back and says, hey, I'm going to let you Jesus tell you who he is. And seven times we see the seven great I ams of Jesus. Each of them had a different way of presenting the resurrection. But in Matthew 28, the Bible reads in verse 1 these words. In the end of the Sabbath, that, as you know, the Sabbath was on Saturday. The end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Sunday. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks. That's why we worship on Sunday. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the grave, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you see Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the grave with fear and what? Great joy. And they did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, do not be afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And then we find out the rest of the story. The guards who were guarding the tomb, were afraid they were going to be in trouble. So they went to the chief priest, who, by the way, were part of the cover-up. They went to the chief priest and says, hey, this Jesus, he is risen. We need to do something about it. And then what they did, they paid them money. It's like Judas took 30 pieces of silver. They paid them money that they would say, someone came and got the body. But I want to tell you this morning that the Bible clearly states to us that we have a risen Savior. We find it all throughout the scriptures. We find it in the testimony of the early church. When you see the early church, what do they declare? They declared the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb according to the scripture, and that he rose again according to the scripture. We find it, and that was the proclamation, as I mentioned, as they gathered together, they in Acts, every time someone got to preach, when they preached, they always included the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had a testimony, and their lives were forever changed because they had seen the risen Savior, folks. Not only do we find it in the testimony of the church, we find it in the scriptures, the testimony of the scriptures. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about Jesus coming. Not only in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. You remember the two men on the way to Emmaus? And they were despondent. The Bible tells us about them in the book of Luke. They were despondent. They had left the place where Jesus had died, and they just thought life was over. Our Savior was dead. The one who we thought was the Messiah is dead, and that's all there is to it. And they were going, and they were talking in a way, and all of a sudden Jesus joins them. He doesn't let them know it's him. He didn't reveal himself until later on in the scriptures. But I want you to know, as he was going, follow me, they were talking and they said, boy, did you hear, do you know about what's happened in Jerusalem? He said, well, what's happened in Jerusalem? And they probably said, are you the only one around who doesn't know what happened in what happened and what took place? And Jesus keeps walking, and then you know what? All of a sudden, The Bible says he began to tell them about himself, and he went to the Old Testament, and he went to the Old Testament prophets, and he preached through all of those prophets and through all the Old Testament up to the New Testament, that they may have their eyes open. And then they said, join us for a piece of bread. And he went in there and he joined them for a meal. And as he joined them for a meal, all of a sudden their eyes were opened. As soon as their eyes were opened, they had seen Jesus. And all of a sudden, he was gone. In that glorified body, he could just be gone in a second. And he was gone. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Because we talked to the resurrected Lord. May I tell you this morning, church, our hearts will burn within us when we spend time with the resurrected Lord. And when we spend time in the Word of God and in prayer at His feet, we will be forever changed. Our heart will burn within us. But may I tell you something today? That not only do we have the testimony of the church, we have an empty cross. We have an empty tomb. And we have empty grave clothes. By the way, those grave clothes were just there, just like he just slipped out of them. He did, by the way. And he, in one of the Gospels, it says he folded the napkin that was over his face and he folded it neatly and put it where his head was. Think about that just a minute. See, the empty cross is a promise of our sins forgiven. You and I are forgiven because of the cross, because Jesus died in our place. He took on us our sin, and all of our sin was placed on him at the cross. And because of his blood, you and I can be forgiven. It doesn't matter where you've gone or what you've been through or what sin you've done. God will forgive you this morning. He will give you a brand new start. That's the message of the resurrection. The empty tomb is the promise and the guarantee that every believer will be raised to life eternal. Do you realize that? Because he had victory over death, so will we. Let me tell you what, that's good news today. I want you to know, when I do funerals and I go out to the funeral, out to that graveside, I say this is not their final resting place. I say that for believers. Why? Because that is not their final resting place. The Lord's going to ascend one day, and the dead in Christ are going to rise to be with him. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God. Those empty grave clothes tell us that we have a Lord that has risen and is alive. By the way, that stone, the angel had to move it away, not to let Jesus out, but to let them in. We're going to see in a minute one of the proclamations of Matthew 28 is, one of those proclamations is, come see the place where he laid. How about the appearances of Jesus? I wish I had time today. There were 10 appearances of Jesus. Some people say 11. 10 or 11 appearances of Jesus. And those appearances of Jesus, listen to me, those appearances of Jesus were very touching. To the very first person he appeared to was Mary Magdalene. Who was she? She was the one he had cast 7 demons out of. Can you imagine the love she had for him? That was the first one he appeared to. And then there were others. There were the disciples. There was the Peter. And there was the 12 apostles. And by the way, you know, whenever he appeared to the 11, Thomas wasn't there in John chapter 20. And then Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. That's the reason we call him Doubting Thomas. He said, I'm not going to believe. And there's some here today say, I'm not going to believe unless I can feel it or I can hear it for myself. I can touch it or I can feel it in my mind. I can put my mind around it. I'm not going to believe it. And you remember what Jesus said when he saw Thomas? He said, go ahead, Thomas. He still had those nail print hands, by the way. And I believe when we see him, he'll still have those nail print hands to remind us what he did for us at Calvary when he died for us. By the way, he had those nail print hands in his glorified body. But catch this. He said, blessed are those who have not seen with their physical eyes, but yet they believe. And there's some here today, I'm going to challenge you to believe, to put your trust in Jesus alone for salvation. He appeared to 500 brethren and to James and the two men on the way to Emmaus. There was a whole group of them. I wish I had time, but I don't have time this morning to deal with all those. I must go now to the second thing. Not only do we see the proof of the resurrection, we see the provisions of the resurrection. The provisions. By the way, you know what? I love the fact that he was in that glorified body. Now, I want you to get this. I don't know about you. It's probably not very interesting to you, but it's interesting to me. In his glorified body, the disciples were, the Bible says, in one of the accounts, they were in the house and the door was shut. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. He didn't need someone to open the door. They said, hey, here's some bread. How about some honeycomb? Now, you say, why are you so excited about that, Brother Jerry? Well, the Bible says we're going to have a glorified body likened unto Jesus one day. Now, you're not following me here. That means in heaven we're going to be eating, amen? There are excited Baptists, you know, to get to heaven you got to take a covered dish. I don't know about you. I hope that Marie's banana pudding's there. Marie Smith, I hope that Marlene's almond cake is there. I hope that Diane Parsley's lemon pie that I got to try this week is there. I hope that Cuevas, her peach cobbler's there. And on and on and on. I could talk about all these things that I've eaten. When I came to this church, I was 180. And I'm no longer 180, folks. But one day we're going to have a glorified body. It's going to be like Jesus. And you have that mansion. You're not going to need a door in the mansion. You're just going to be able to walk through and go into the mansion. You're not going to, you'll have feasts. You'll be feasting in the presence of God in that glorified body because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He promised us. One day we'll have a body likened unto his. And I don't know about you, that's good enough for me. I don't think we'll have an ounce of fat. Amen? Amen. Now some of you aren't saying amen, but you need to. I won't say who. What are his provisions? Well, one provision is, let me tell you what, because he rose, everybody lives. If you know Jesus, you're going to live forevermore. If he had not risen, the grave would be locked. All of our hopes and dreams would be over. But that isn't what Peter said. He said in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There's hope today. Why? The hope we have can be found in Jesus. If the dead did not rise, then we might as well just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. And by the way, that's how some people are living their life right now. And I must tell you quickly this morning that there's a difference between heaven and hell. Jesus doesn't have any gray areas. Either you trust him or you don't. Either you follow him or you don't. You receive him or you don't. You say, oh, I've decided to sit on the fence, Brother Jerry. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you're on the fence, it's time for you to get off. Because let me tell you what, on the fence will send you to hell. And you're not going to, God's not going to send you to hell, you are. Because you have chosen to reject Jesus, the Son of God. That's the only sin that he will not forgive. Is rejecting Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit that points us to Jesus. Another provision, thank God for the resurrection because I have something to preach every Sunday. Amen? Without the resurrection, I might as well just quit my job. Because why would I want to come up here and preach about a dead Savior? Why would I want to come up here and tell you in John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. Why would I have a point to say to you in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I don't know about you, that's exciting. To be able to preach about what Christ has done for us. Another provision is our faith is real. It's not worthless. Without the resurrection, the good news would be the bad news. The hallmark of faith in chapter 11, all those people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Rahab and David and the prophets, those that were mocked and scourged, those that were stoned and afflicted and put to death, it would have meant nothing without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what? One of the provisions is we're not false witnesses. If he hadn't risen, I'd just be a false witness today. You say, liar, liar. But I'm not a liar today, folks. I'm not giving you fake news today. I'm giving you the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. Because of his sacrifice, we have forgiveness. Because of the death of Christ and the resurrection, we have eternal life. That's the reason we sing, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. That's the reason we sing, he lives, he lives. I know he lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And see, because of the resurrection, the last thing I want to mention out of this, I'm going to get to see my parents again. I'm going to get to see two grandkids that we lost 13 years ago yesterday. Elizabeth and Sarah. I'm going to get to see some of these, our dear members. You know, when I first came here, there was a couple that was the backbone of this church, a godly couple, Leo and Lena Eller. I love to go visit them. The Whites now live where they used to live, built a new home there. But I want to tell you what, I'm going to get to see Brother Leo. I imagine he's playing the fiddle up there. He loved to go to nursing homes and play the fiddle with his group. And they ministered in the name of the Lord. I'm going to get to see those we've lost this year, like Fanny Garner and Ann Fields and Ethel Henry. And Maureen Elder's mother. I'm going to get to see some dear friends that are on the other side. And by the way, does anybody here have someone in heaven? Because of the resurrection, you're going to get to see them again. Isn't that good? That's a provision of the resurrection. We ought to rejoice in that. Now let's go back to Matthew 28 quickly. And I'm going to give you the last point, the proclamations. We've seen the proof of the resurrection. We've seen the provisions. Now we see the proclamations. What are the proclamations? What does he tell these ladies? What were these ladies doing? They had come early in the morning. They had spices in which they were going to prepare his body, put on his body. And they were wonder how we're going to get that stone rolled away. Wonder how we're going to have access to Jesus. And we get there, notice the Bible says here, that first day of the week, verse 1 in Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to the grave, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and the angel rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, his raiment as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers, they shook and they just fainted on the spot, folks. They were like dead men. The angel answered, here's the first proclamation of the resurrection. Don't miss it. They said to the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus was crucified. The first thing that the angel says is fear not. Isn't it interesting? Who was it that told Joseph and Mary that they're going to be with child, an angel? Who was it that told the shepherds to go and seek the Savior in a manger, an angel? Who was it that now is there at the grave, an angel? Who was it when he ascended up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, when he went up into heaven, there was two men in white apparel, angels, and they said, ye men of Galilee, stop ye gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus that you've seen going to heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. In other words, he's coming again, folks. Praise God for that. But see, we don't have nothing to fear. The Bible says over and over again, Psalm 27, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We have nothing to fear because we have a resurrected Lord who walks with us every day, who helps us with our fear and our hang-ups and our problems and our sin and our difficulties and our situations. He is the one who helps us through those times. Thank God for that. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to take this coat off. Y'all have seen I wore a coat today, Easter Sunday. Honey, I wore it as long as I could, baby. Now we're going to get down to some preaching. You know, little kid said to his daddy, the pastor took off his watch and put it on the deal there on the pulpit. He said, Dad, what does that mean? He looked at his son and he said, that means absolutely nothing, son. Some of y'all have a sense of humor today. It's amazing. I know what it is. Y'all ready to get home and get some of that ham. Okay, but don't fear, folks. We don't have nothing to fear. Now, the second proclamation, see it here in verse 6. The angel says, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. And by the way, do you know what? Jesus predicted his resurrection. And I don't know about you, that would have been good enough for me. He says, you can destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. He says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see the place. What did he want them to do? He wanted them to believe, folks. He wanted them to understand that, hey, what Jesus had been telling you all along, that he wasn't going to stay in that tomb. He did not stay in that tomb. He rose victorious over sin and death and hell and the devil, praise God. And we must believe, folks. Are you believing today? Have you put your trust in him? You know, in John chapter 11, one of the great chapters also about the resurrection, Jesus had a dear friend, his name was Lazarus. He was at the point of death, he was very sick, and his sister sent word to him that he was sick. And the Bible says he tarried there, and his disciples says, well, aren't we going to go help your dear friend Lazarus out? And they get there on the fourth day. He was dead. He was good and dead. They had already buried him. And Mary and Martha meet Jesus, and they say, oh, Lord, if you had just been here, our brother would have lived. And just like Brother Ricky read this morning, Jesus said, don't you understand that I am the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked them a question. Do you believe this? Now, I don't know how he put it. He might have said, do you and 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 you. Do you believe this? He could have said, do you believe this? He knew the key to Mary and Martha to getting it, they got to believe. They had to believe. He might have said, do you believe this? What's he talking about, the this? The this was that it was the resurrection and the life. He had power over death. In fact, to show it, he went over there to Lazarus' grave and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And by the way, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, because everybody dead body around there would have come forth. But old Lazarus, he was wrapped in that, like they wrapped him in cloths. He's like in a mummy, you know. He came out of there and like this, and Jesus said, loose him and set him free. They went over there and loosed him, and he raised him from the dead. You got to believe today, folks. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm telling you today? I pray and hope you do believe. And not only you believe, you'll respond to what will take place in just a few moments. Thirdly, quickly, notice what he tells them. Verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Kind of interesting. He said, go tell it. See, when you see the resurrected Lord, as I mentioned earlier, you can't keep it to yourself. You got to go tell somebody. We sing that song, go tell it on a mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But we need to go tell on the mountain, not only did he have a virgin birth, not only did he have a virtuous life, not only did he have a vicarious death, not only did he have a victorious resurrection, and not only did he have a wonderful ascension, he is coming back again, church. Jesus is coming to take his children home, praise God. I wonder how many people have we told this week. I want to challenge you to do something. This week, I want to challenge you to tell somebody that Jesus is alive. How do I know it? He lives in me. How do I know it? He changed my life. How do I know it? I've seen him change thousands of lives. How do I know it? Because the Bible tells me so. Praise God. He said, go tell his disciples. And by the way, they went with fear and great trembling. But listen to me. Not everybody's going to believe. I wish I could say here today, everybody's going to believe. And then the last proclamation. Fear not. Come see, believe. Tell. And the last thing. Worship him. Look there in verse 9. Now as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail, and they came and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him. You say, wow, they got to worship the resurrected Lord? Let me tell you something. We too are going to worship the resurrected Lord one day. I read the last pages of the book of Revelation, and Revelation 4 and 5, it gives us a picture of heaven, and in heaven there's those 24 elders that are on the throne. There's Jesus, who's the Lamb, mentioned over and over, the Lamb of God, and we'll see him, and when we see him, we'll fall down on his face, and we'll worship him, saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and riches and power, because he has created all things, and for his pleasure they are created. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Oh, I've seen him this week through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through Paul, but I want to see him through those eyes. I close with this. Jeremy was not a normal child. He had a terminal illness that affected both his body and his mind. Still, his parents wanted to try to give him some sort of normal life as possible. So they decided to enroll him into a Christian school, an elementary Christian school. And at age 12, Jeremy was still in the second grade because of his problems that he had. The teacher didn't know how to handle Jeremy, and the children sometimes didn't know how to respond to Jeremy. But one day, the teacher said to the class, "Listen, I have something I'm going to give you as a project. I want each of you to take a plastic egg, just like this one I'm holding. Take a plastic egg, and I want you to take it home, and I want you to bring it back. This is springtime, and Easter's coming. I want you to bring back something that represents life." They come back to class, and there was 19 children there that morning. She had a basket. Miss Miller had a basket on her desk, and they came in and put their eggs in. And the first egg she opened, it was a flower. And she said, "Oh, yeah, this is new life. That seed is planted in the springtime. It springs forth, and it brings forth new life." And the little girl said, "That was my egg." And then there was another egg that had in it a butterfly, a plastic butterfly. And the teacher said, "Oh, that's a good one. That caterpillar dies, and then there's new life. It becomes a butterfly. That's new life." And the third one was a rock that was having moss growing on it. And she says, "Yeah, I see new life here." And the boy in the back says, "Oh, my dad did that for me." And then the fourth one she opened was like this egg I have here. It was empty, folks. And she said, "I bet you that's Jeremy's egg." He didn't understand the assignment. I meant to call his parents, and I did. Got busy. Miss Miller said, I got busy, and I didn't get a chance to call his parents. And she kind of put it over the side. And Jeremy spoke up and said, "Miss Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg?" She says, "But Jeremy, your egg is empty." And he looked at her with his eyes so softly and said, "But Jesus' tomb was empty too." Probably the one who really got the assignment that day was Jeremy. He got an A+. Because I'm going to tell you today, church, the tomb is empty. Because the tomb is empty, we have life everlasting. For some today, you've never invited Jesus in your life, and you need a Savior. He'll forgive you of every sin that you've committed up to today. He'll forgive you of every sin. He'll give you a brand new start. I'm going to invite you to come. I know there's a lot of people here, but it's going to take courage, but I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. There's others here today. You need to come and join this church today. Here on Easter Sunday, I don't know of a better day to join a church than Easter Sunday, saying, "Hey, this is a fresh start for us. We want to join the church and be a part of the community and serve the Lord here at Lane Prairie." I invite you to come. Maybe others here today are looking for hope, and maybe you need someone to pray for you. You're going through a difficulty. We'll have staff members up here at the front. We would love to pray for you. But today, I want to tell you that if you're here without Christ, that you need a Savior. He died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That, and you can put your name right there. It says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today, Jesus offers you everlasting life, eternity in heaven, forgiveness of sins, victory. I don't know if someone would pass that up today. With every head bowed this morning, every eye shut, If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, I'm going to invite you in a moment. I'm going to pray. Now I'm going to invite you to come take a pastor by the hand. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus. That's all you need to say. You say, well, I don't know all there is to it. Doesn't matter whether you know all there is to it. If you know in your heart you need a Savior, there's a void in your life, I want to invite you to come today. Come to Jesus. If you need to join the church, come and join this church today. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it's very clear and concise about the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. Because of his resurrection, we too can have victory. I pray for the one here without Jesus today, that they would never leave without him. Give them the courage to take that first step, and you'll bring them the rest of the way. Touch us now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand together, we're going to sing now. As we sing, you come. Come on, right now. You come. Come to Jesus. Come, let him touch your life today.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Just come on today.
Me, I will follow.
This is your day.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him all the way. Me.